In addition to the verses, we looked at in Romans 8, 28 and 30, I would like to read just a few more that I'll be referring to. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then 2 Corinthians 3, 18 says, "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." And then one more, Colossians 3:10 says, "And put on the new man," or the new self, "which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." Well, I'd like to continue from what I was sharing last time. And that won't matter whether you heard me last time or not. Last time I fellowshiped this, and this is something that's close to my heart. That is, I began with saying that God has a desire. He's always had a desire to have many sons. And when I say many sons, that includes male and female believers. So as I talk about many sons today, that's an inclusive term. God has had this desire to have many sons because His only Son was such a delight to Him, brought Him, the Father, so much satisfaction. We know from a few things the Lord said when He was on earth, like, "Father, You loved Me before the foundation of the world," and other passages, that the Father and Son had such a love with one another and such an enjoyment of each other, even before the foundation of the world. And this enjoyment that the Father had for His Son initiated or sparked a desire within God to start His eternal purpose, to start doing what He did. And that was, He wanted to have a creature, i.e. man, humanity, to bear the image, to be in the likeness of His Son, so that He could have many sons through whom He could express Himself to the universe. This desire within God is what got everything in action, got the creation going, creation of the heavens, the creation of the earth, and then finally the creation of man, whom He created in His image and in His likeness. But we all know what happened. Man fell into sin. And with the fall came the loss, the essential loss of that image, of that likeness. And if you don't believe that, as you think, "Oh no, mankind is still bearing that image of God," just look around at the culmination of the world situation today, and you'll realize man does not bear His image. In a certain kind of way, that we are His creation, yes. But in the thinking, in the motivation, in the direction, in the goals of mankind, that image was lost. So, and it got increasingly so. But eventually, the Father sent His own Son to this earth, not just to redeem us, not just to accomplish the atonement, but also to have the very embodiment, the very expression of that proper image of that proper likeness. When mankind would look at this Jesus as he lived, as he walked, as he talked, they would see this is the image of God. He is the one who really does express God to mankind. But it was God's desire that this Jesus would be the firstborn, the first one among many brothers. And it was God's plan, even his design, his according to his foreknowledge and his predestination, that there would be many who would be attracted to this Jesus, would follow this Jesus, would surrender, as our sister just sang, surrender their lives to this Jesus, to begin the recovery of the process of regaining that image, that likeness that was lost in, it was lost in mankind and is being recovered in all those who believe in him. Well, once we receive Christ, whether we know it or not, I didn't know it at the time until I read the scriptures. Once we received Christ into our life, and the Spirit of Jesus came into us, the Father, through the Spirit, began a transforming work inside of us. A work that lasts from the time of regeneration until the time we see Him face to face. It's an ongoing work. And we didn't know it, but we had been predestined for this. It says in Romans, the verses we read, whom He foreknew, them He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, I don't understand how all this works, but God, in His foreknowledge, foresaw, foreknew each one who was going to believe in Him, in His Son. And with each one, He marked out a destiny. The Greek word for predestination is prohorizo. It's where we get the word, it's made up of pro and horizo. Pro means before, and horizo means to set the boundary, set the limit. The English word horizon comes from this, the limit. He set a destiny for us, a limit, a boundary. This is your destiny. This is your boundary. This is what your life and my life are limited for. This is the goal, the purpose. That's predestination. And once we get regenerated, we receive Christ into our life, this whole thing starts to take shape. We might have grand plans to be a great Christian worker, or to do this for the Lord, to do that for the Lord. We might have this expectation, that expectation. But He has a higher expectation that even supersedes all of our natural, unregenerated ideas about what it means to be a child of God. When I was first saved, I was with some Christians who talked about the manifested sons of God. And they meant that they were having the hope that they were going to be like Peter and just walk through the streets. And if you touch Peter's shadow, remember, you'd get healed. And they had this idea that as a young Christian, a dynamic Christian, they were going to heal people, do wonderful works, and all this kind of thing. Boy, that sounded really good to me. But it just wasn't happening in my life. Then other ideas we have about what we're going to become now that we're Christians. What we're going to become is we are going to become in the likeness of His Son. That's the destiny. That's the goal. It's already been marked out. And two things are happening to bring this to pass. And there are two verbs going on here. Conform and transform. Conform and transform. says we are being conformed. And then that's in Romans 8. And then in Romans 12 it says we're being transformed. Well, Christ is the prototype. In a sense, he's like the mold. He's the one that the Father produced first, so to speak. He's the first. And we have to be conformed to His image. Now, if I have a mold here, and I have a big chunk of clay, and I want to conform this chunk of clay to the image of the mold, what's going to happen to the clay? A lot of it is going to be reshaped, and a lot of it is going to be cut away. And this is conformation. It's the outward working of God's hand through circumstances, through people, through sufferings, through trials, through all kinds of things that he brings up. It's God's molding us into the image of his Son. This is not a pleasant process. I don't think if you talk to the clay, and if the clay could talk, the clay likes to be conformed. We don't like, our independent nature does not like conformity. We want individuality, we want freedom, we want to be ourselves, all this kind of thing. But the Bible clearly says we're being conformed to His image or to His likeness. And so, in this passage it says, God is working all things together for the good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. A lot of things start happening in our life that we might not be able to account for, that we wonder why. Or as we talked about in the last session, how do we cope with the things that are happening to us? I wanted to respond to the last session, but I'm saving it for now. How do I cope? I cope with the realization that what God is doing, the sufferings He has brought into my life, in my family's life, all those things that are happening is because He's working all things together to conform me to the image of His Son. And when I'm going through some excruciatingly painful experiences that I can't understand why it's happening, I remember that. The verse comes to me. The Lord speaks to me. Well, what is your destiny? To have a nice time right now? Is your destiny for me to make things pleasant for you? And I say, well, I want something pleasant. I want something peaceful. We all do. But God has a higher purpose. And that's why He takes us and some of our Christian friends through things we cannot comprehend. But in the end, He knows exactly what He's doing to shape and conform us into His image. Then the other thing that is happening, that's God working on us outwardly. And I hope I'm not saying this in the way that it's, you get the impression that the Father is cruel or just treats us like a piece of clay. I don't mean that. So don't carry the analogy that far. I'm just saying that, as Paul said, I want to know Him. And in knowing Him, I want to be conformed to His death. That's part of knowing Christ. I remember the first time I was really misunderstood by some Christians. It was at that point I realized what Jesus suffered as being a Nazarene. Actually, you know, He was born in Bethlehem and had full rights, according to the prophecy, as one born in Bethlehem, to have the claim to the Messiahship. But all along, He was known as a Nazarene. And people said, ah, this Nazarene, how could he be the Messiah? No Messiah, no Christ, not even a prophet comes from Galilee. Let alone, I mean, how could he claim to be the Messiah? Jesus never pulled out his birth certificate, didn't say, look, I really was born in Bethlehem, folks. And he never defended himself. No, I came from Bethlehem. I fulfilled Micah 5:2. He didn't. He just took the misunderstanding all the time. He was just constantly misunderstood. That was just a small part of his suffering. I remember the first time I was misunderstood, the Lord spoke to me. He said, and now you know what it means that I came from Galilee, that I was a Nazarene. That's conformity to the image of his son. As the conformity is going on, God is also transforming us inwardly. That's the Greek word there is metamorphosis, or that's the anglicized way to say it. A metamorphosis is going on. We all know what a metamorphosis is. Caterpillar, metamorphosis, or how do you say that verb, metamorphosizes or something into a butterfly. And that is what he's doing within us inwardly. It says we are being transformed into his image by the renewing of our mind. And this is where actually the most pleasant part of a Christian goes on. As far as my experience goes, it's really wonderful to see through the years how my mind is getting changed. Isn't it good? Isn't it great to see the renewing that's going on in our thinking? Consider how you thought before you were a Christian. Consider even how you thought 10 years ago. Now consider your thought processes now. Sure, it's disturbing still. I get disturbed. I get depressed. That Satan throws darts in there and plays old movies and all these kind of things. But generally speaking, overall, don't look at just today or this week. Look at the total picture. You would have to admit some renewing has been going on, some actual transforming by the renewing of our mind. And this actually is where we are beginning to take on the image of Christ, is in our thinking. And this actually is where we are maturing as sons of God, in our thinking. I used to wonder, well, Lord, okay, we're getting transformed into your image. This is something you're doing all throughout our life. Let me go look at some real old-timers and see. I mean, they've been going through this for 50, 60 years, right? What is the mark of being transformed? What are the characteristics of being in the image of his son? I've only been at this 15, 16 years. Let me see what these old timers are like. So I would watch. Well, definitely it's not the way they look physically, right? That isn't the image, okay? Then what is it? Definitely it's not their actions either. You get older and older and get less and less and less active and energetic for the Lord. Can do less great works and all this kind of thing. Well, it's not that either. I began to notice it was their thinking, it was their thought process, which came out of their speaking, that I began to see, ah, that's where the transformation is going on. That's where the renewing is going on. It's very encouraging to me. It's really encouraging. Because we are getting changed in our thinking to the image, to the likeness of Christ's thinking, Christ's mind. Paul says in Philippians, let this mind or let this kind of thinking be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, years ago, when I would read that, I would go, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Boy, that seemed metaphysical. How am I supposed to do that? A transfer of mind from Christ to me just doesn't seem to fit. But the rest of the verses in Philippians really fit. Let this thinking be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of thinking? Let me tell you. He was in the image of God. Excuse me. He had equality with God. But he didn't hold on to it. In fact, he became subservient to the Father and was sent to earth and became obedient to the Father, obedient to death, even the death of the cross, etc. And then in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the very next verse in verse 3 says, let no man think more highly of himself than he ought to think. And then it begins to describe a kind of thinking, a kind of mind that is not proud, a kind of mind that is not absorbed with self, a kind of mind that has been brought to a proper opinion of oneself in the body of Christ. So I began to see renewal into the image of Christ is renewal in my thought process about who I am. And we all start out with very high thoughts about ourselves. And as the time goes on, as the Lord begins to work on us, He begins to lower and lower and lower our mentality about who we are. This is the kind of thinking, this is the kind of image we are being transformed into. And I see it happening in me. I have to confess, I was at different points in my Christian life proud. I could speak. I could do certain things. But the Lord arranged circumstances just to wipe me out. Just to break that kind of thought process and bring me to the place where I realized I'm nothing, but by God's mercy, I have nothing, I am nothing. If it wasn't for His mercy in saving me, I would just be going my own way, just like anybody else in the world. And time again, whenever I would get any kind of accomplishment as a Christian, the Lord would come in to conform me and transform me to a completely different kind of thought process. To where I began to, I'm just saying began to, because I have a long way to go. My wife knows. But I began to realize how precious are the other members of the body of Christ. And that's what Romans 12:2 is all about. We begin, how do we bear the image of Christ? We begin to have a thought process that thinks, I'm not so wonderful. I'm not so special. Boy, that other brother, he really has something of the Lord. Oh my, I just received a lot of help from what that other saint just said. Rather than preoccupation with what I'm going to say, or and that sort of thing, or how people view me. I have found this to be very encouraging that as the Lord starts this renewing process in us, we are renewed and transformed and changed to His image. You notice in all these verses we read, it says, to His image, to His image, to His image. None of us are ever going to become Jesus. Bible doesn't say, the more I work on you, the more you're going to become Jesus or become the Son of God or something like that. If the Father wanted millions of Jesuses, so to speak, He could have just done that. But He didn't. One Son from which would come many sons. And what a challenge to the Father. What a challenge. To come into me, to come into you, to come into so many kind of believers and start this what I call agonizingly beautiful process. I mean, it's no fun to go from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Yeah, we like to see the butterfly flying around, but that caterpillar really goes through it. And we really go through it. It's a complete deception to say, once you become a Christian, all your problems are over. That's nonsense. Once you become a Christian, all your problems start. But with a goal, with a purpose, to conform us, to transform us into the image of His Son. And the Father will not stop. He will not stop until He gets there. Some go to be with the Lord young in life. Why? The transformation process must have been complete. Some stay on till 80, 85, 90, 95. Why? Must need more. Some have a good year, a real good year. Must mean they need rest for a while because the Lord's going to start up again next year. I've gone through several seasons. I think you have too. But He's not going to stop. He's relentless in His purpose to gain many glorified sons. I see it happen in my life. I see it happen in others. I feel in some of my experiences very heartbroken about relationships I've had with other Christians. But I always remember, okay, what I've gone through, what that other brother has gone through. He's getting transformed to His image. I'm getting transformed to His image. Evidently, this must have happened. This had to happen in our relationship just to bring that about. And so many things I've begun to see in this light, and it has really, really been so encouraging. I'll just close with this. My own father, and I think some of you got to see him one day when my wife and I were on a little vacation. He and his wife came with the three boys, and I think he stood up and spoke twice or something like that. And my son Jeremy said, "You're not supposed to do that. You're only once." And if you give my dad a chance, he'll speak for quite a while. But he's in his 60s. And he didn't become a Christian until he was 40. And he treasures the days that he has left. He treasures them. He just says, "Boy, I need so much more to happen in me." And he's such a model to me because I've never been around a man who is more humble than he is. He just puts me to shame so often. I would get proud of my accomplishments as a Christian, and I would just be in his presence, and he was just very humble. Like, nothing. His attitude is like, "I haven't attained. I haven't made it yet. I haven't gotten anywhere." And it would just bring me to Christ, and I'd just say, "Lord, I have so much more to go. So much more to go." But it says in Philippians, He who's begun this work in us will complete it. And not only complete it, He'll give us the willingness to allow Him to complete this until the day of Christ. Can we conclude by singing a hymn? 195, written by John Nelson Darby. He starts his hymn like this. Says, "And is it so I shall be like thy Son? Is this the grace which He for me has won?" In the black hymnal. Sorry. I'll read that line again, because it's really incredible when you think about it. "And is it so I shall be like thy Son?" Just consider that. That is amazing. John says, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as He is. How shall we be like Him? In our soul, in our mind, in our thought process. We are becoming more and more like Him. "Is this the grace which He for me has won?
Father of glory, thought beyond all thought, in glory to His own blessed likeness brought. Let's sing this together. Why don't we all stand, okay? All four verses.